Pericope of Scripture this morning is found Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. My text is going to be verse 22. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The loveth, the righteous, eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Verse 22 is our text. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. May he bless the reading and the preaching of it again this morning. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, last Sunday was Father's Day. It's wonderful to use those kind of occasions to bring forth God's teaching on various different subjects of that important instruction of children. And the book of Proverbs is the instruction of a father to his son As we read at verse 1 of this very chapter, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. But our text goes beyond the instruction of a father to his son. You'll notice that our text deals with grandchildren. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. So our text has a covenantal perspective. God gathers his church. God gathers his people in their generations. We as parents, we as grandparents desire to leave an inheritance for our children. Now the question comes, what do we hope to leave for them? Children, what do you hope to receive? What parents and grandparents are you working so hard at passing on? That's my theme, passing on an inheritance. Notice in the first place what it means. Second of all, how we do that. And then thirdly, why we do this, the blessed future. So it is what, how, and why. Passing on an inheritance, what does that mean? And we need to ask then, first of all, well, what is that inheritance? What type of an inheritance? I am of that age that now I have stood at the graveside of both of my parents and both of Elva's parents, and not getting any younger. I see my own mortality. What will I leave my children and my grandchildren? Is it a physical, is it a literal inheritance? That is money, stocks, jewels. What do you children hope to receive from your parents or your grandparents? Many commentators on this particular text say this verse is all about being a good saver, being a good steward, so that we have something to give. And yes, we should be good stewards of what God has given to us. Quite a few years back, there was a men's conference at Byron's Church, and there was a section on finances, and a gentleman spoke regarding he needs to save up for his old age so that he has a nest egg to pass on to his children and his children's children. But beloved, that is not what this text is about. It's not a physical inheritance in itself. Why is that so? Then this text would not have much to say, would it, to the saints in Jerusalem. The saints in Jerusalem after Christ's ascension were persecuted by the Jews and later on by the Romans. They had to flee their homes. They were so destitute that the other churches had to take offerings for the church in Jerusalem. Did they fail? This text? Notice this text talks about a good man. So does that mean that if one does not have physical things to pass on to his children or children's children, he's not a good man? And does it mean, contrary-wise, that if a wicked man has a lot of wealth and he passes on to his children, he is indeed a good man? The answer is no, those are only temporary things. There is an old adage I want to share with you. That adage goes, the first generation earns. The second generation saves. The third generation spends and squanders. And the fourth generation has nothing left. If our hope is only to inherit earthly things, then there really is no hope for us. My father let his children know very early on that most of his estate would go to kingdom causes when he left. So don't be so concerned about leaving something for your children that is an estate for them to fight over or to squander on themselves. No, we have to take this text in the Old Testament and interpret it in the light of the Old Testament types and shadows. What is this inheritance that the good man leaves? It is a spiritual inheritance. Now, oh yes, it had a physical component, but interpreted by the New Testament, it was something spiritual. It was the land of Canaan. The Lord had given this land to his people. We read in Exodus 32, verse 13, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever." The Lord in Joshua's day gave the land to Israel. Each tribe had their own specific inheritance. And each family in each tribe then had their own plot of land. Yes, that land was physical. But it wasn't really all about just a piece of land. It was not the land itself that made it have such value. The land of Canaan was a type of heaven. But what lies at the heart of each of those two? That is the land of Canaan, and what is at the heart of heaven? At the heart of the land of Canaan was Jerusalem. Jerusalem with the temple. The temple with the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant with a mercy seat on it. God was pleased to dwell in the midst of his people. One's presence then in that land represented the life that that person had with the Lord Jehovah, our God. And that's what heaven is all about, isn't it? Sometimes at funerals or funeral homes, one hears people trying to give comfort and saying, well, soon, after a few years, you're going to be again with your husband or your wife. That's not what heaven's about. The earthly relationships end here on earth. What is heaven about? It's about being with Christ Jesus and being with the church triumphant. The inheritance then in that land was really Jehovah God himself. As we were called to worship this morning in Psalm 16, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. The inheritance that Solomon is speaking about here is a permanent inheritance. It does not waste away. It does not devaluate. It does not rust or destroy. It lasts. Unlike the physical things that you and I might pass on. You're going to see that because, especially the two parts of this verse, the whole chapter, hopefully you notice almost every verse in Proverbs has a contrast set before there. That is the future of the godly and the future of the ungodly, the wise and the fool. There are two parts in this verse. A good man leaveth an inheritance, a permanent inheritance to his children's children. But the wealth of the sinner, taken away, given someone else. Yes, it's a permanent contrast. Hebrews 9, verse 15, those that are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. Or again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we are being kept. We are being kept by the Lord Jesus Christ to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So the question comes this morning, do you love that inheritance? Life with Jehovah God, covenant life. Do you cherish that? I ask that because there were those in the Old Testament that did not cherish their inheritance, so that Esau sold his for a bowl of pottage. The tribe of Dan didn't like the land that they were given down in the south part of Israel, and so they trekked up to the northern part and took another piece of land. They didn't want the inheritance that God gave. Do you cherish the inheritance that God gives you? Now, in our passage, the Old Testament saints were to pass on that inheritance. That affected everything that that Old Testament saint did. That is, first of all, they would never sell that inheritance. Boys and girls, you remember that story about Naboth? Wicked King Ahab in Samaria. Next to his palace, he saw the beautiful vineyards of Naboth, and he wanted them for himself. He offered to buy them. He offered to give Naboth even a better vineyard. And Naboth says, no, I cannot do that. So he would never sell it or trade it. The Old Testament saint would care for that inheritance. He'd make sure that the walls around it were laid up with rocks or so that things could not come in and invade his inheritance. He would pull the weeds out of it. He would take care of the tender vines. But not only did the Old Testament saint care about his own inheritance, his own land, but he cared about the land or the inheritance of those around him also. Not always, because you'll remember in the period of Judges, each tribe and each man did what was right in their own eyes. They just said, me only. But under the kings, they were unified, and if one part of the kingdom was threatened, the rest of the tribes would go up to battle, wouldn't they? Because they recognized that their own inheritance was threatened if their neighbors was threatened. In the home, the parent and the grandparent would explain to the coming generations the why and the how and the therefore. Why do we have this inheritance, this land? Because God chose to give it to us. How do we have this inheritance? Well, the Lord, with mighty hand, came down there in Egypt, and through the plagues, he delivered us. The angel of death passed over the doors where there was blood, and the Lord led us to this land. And now the therefore, we have to love God. We have to obey God. We have to live in the land and love God and pass it down from the generation to generations to come. Now, that's a lot of Old Testament history. What does that mean for us? We have said, the Lord is our inheritance. The Lord is our portion. We don't sell that life that we have with the Lord like an Esau or give it away. Forsake it as a Dan did. But we care for that inheritance. We're concerned not just for our own family, but we're concerned for the whole family of God. When I was doing mission work down in Florida with one potential group, I was left finally to a man and his three sons. And he says, yeah, the former pastor, he was interested in doing evangelism, but I don't really care about that. I just want the word of God for myself and for my sons. That's selfish. We do not just care for each of our own families, but we care for the whole family of God, not only in this particular building now this morning, but for our whole denomination and then even also the church universal. And then we explain to our children and our grandchildren the why and the how and the therefore. Why do we have that rich inheritance? that life with Christ Jesus. It's through sovereign election, isn't it? God chose us for it. How do we have it? It's through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And then therefore to our children and grandchildren, serve the Lord with gladness. What do we hand down? We hand down not merely knowledge about, but we have the Lord Jehovah Himself. Covenant life with God by grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means, beloved, passing down the inheritance, two things. Number one, we pass down the truth of God. Passing down the truth of God means all of the scriptures, not pick and choose what we want to pass down. It means we pass down the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ crucified in our place and risen from the dead. It means, as Protestant Reformed churches, we pass down our rich Reformed heritage and the confessions that God has given to us. We defend those confessions. We don't sell them. It means that we pass down our love for the church. So, in the home, in our Christian schools, and as we have opportunity this evening to give our offerings for, in our catechism classrooms, we pass down the truth of God revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ in the scriptures. Second of all, we pass down what does it mean to live that truth. That means our life. That means our example. Vibrant, godly, sanctified living. We pass down what does a person of faith look like. It's not just a confession off the lips, but it's backed up with a living confession. What does it mean to be a child of God? Practical godliness. Both components. Both components need to be there every day in every sphere of life. Not just on Sundays, not just in church, but in the business place, in the home, in the neighborhood. The Apostle John writes in 3 John chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. In 3 John 3 verse 4, he doesn't say that my children know the truth or have the truth. He says, no greater joy have I than my children walk in the truth. So we pass on the truth of God and what it means to live and walk in that truth. So how do we go about passing on that inheritance? Because you and I know that we don't have that ability to work new life in the hearts of our children or our grandchildren. Oh, we'd love to, couldn't we? We would love to, but we can't do it. With our earthly inheritance, all I need to go is one day down to the lawyer, get some papers signed, and when I die, it's automatically theirs. It takes one day. But the spiritual inheritance is a work of God, isn't it? And it's something that takes place not just when one person dies, but already in your lifetime. God must work that new life, but God uses means. In the way of godly parents, in the way of godly grandparents, passing down the truth of the gospel and passing down what it means to live the truth, God blesses. God calls and forms His children and gives the inheritance. Notice our text. We read there, a good man leaveth an inheritance. That adjective good means, first of all, a spiritual person. That is one who loves the Lord himself, who loves spiritual things, and who loves the children and the grandchildren of his family and of his church family. But that word good can also mean, and it does here, those who are useful. A useful man, a beneficial man, that is a selfless man, a thoughtful man, asks himself, how? How can I provide for the spiritual good of my wife and of my family and of my grandchildren? Good. Now you'll notice in the text that the word man is in italics. That means it isn't there in the original Hebrew, but it's supplied. It gives the thought, and it's for good reason that it is supplied there. It speaks of headship. Now that is not at all to lessen the importance, the duty of Christian mothers and grandmothers, not at all. We know the importance of Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, especially for those homes where the father is godless or has left, forsaken his family. Then it rests on the mother to be the head. But it uses here normally, when God blesses the family, there is a husband, there is a wife, that man is in charge of the household. He charts the path of that household. He leads in the home, in the church, and in the schools. It is then covenantal. Parents to children. Grandparents to grandchildren. They love the Lord. The fruit, they pass on. They pass on that love to their children and grandchildren. A good man, notice the next word in our text, leaveth. Not will leave, not left, but leaveth. It is present tense. That means it is continuous activity, constantly. Constantly with words and example all life long. A good man leaveth an inheritance. How do we do that? Here's the application. We set forth the truth before our children and our grandchildren. That means, first of all, that we ourselves need to know and love the truth. We need to be students of God's word. We need to be students of the confessions of our church. We need to feed ourselves, for an empty pot is not going to feed those around the table, is it? That is what I want my children and my grandchildren to say about me. Dad loved God. Dad loved God's word. God called Dad to be not only the one who would impart that knowledge, make sure it was imparted in the home, but also with the instruction came an example. Does or did Dad, Grandpa, love the truth and walk in it? I had to explain different times to those and my children also why we were leaving my old denomination. It wasn't that in that church where I was in South Holland that they didn't allow me to preach the truth of God's word. No, the elders stood behind me. But the question was, where did I want to leave my children? Where did I want to see them form their marriages? Where did I want to see the grandchildren down the road? As the old denomination continued on the road of apostasy. So, how do we do it? We speak. We communicate. with our children, with our grandchildren, what the Lord has done for me, what it means to be a child of God. Second of all, we pass on the inheritance by passing on a love for the church. A love for the church because that is where God is pleased to work and strengthen faith. The good man loves the church. Today there is nothing worse for the family than the person who is always critical. Critical of the pastor, critical of the preaching, critical of the elders, critical of the denomination. If the head of the home is always critical, finding fault with the church, then why should the children or the grandchildren love the church? And I can think of numerous examples of those kind of men who were real critical, fault-finding. Most, if not all, of their children left our churches. So the good man that wants to pass on the inheritance passes on a love for our church, for the confessions of that church, for the saints of that church, imperfect as they are. Thirdly, the man who wants to pass on the inheritance to his children and grandchildren supports good Christian schools, doesn't he? For that is where our children and our grandchildren are being formed and prepared in order to serve the Lord in this world, to be in the world but not of the world. We love, we support the church, the schools. A young boy, I would go different times to my pastor's house. He'd be sitting on a Saturday in the kitchen with his t-shirt, and there were holes in his t-shirt. And he says, that's Christian education. Or I think of my mother in the middle of our farmhouse, right in the middle of the kitchen floor. The linoleum so worn out, the wood was starting to wear away. So Dad, being thrifty, went to the cupboard, took some of that linoleum that they used to put on the cupboard shelves. He cut a square, tried to glue it down, but it was so old that it would curl up, and there was brass tacks all around it in the middle of the kitchen floor. And Mom wasn't embarrassed about it. That was support for the Christian school. The good man leaves an inheritance by supporting the local Christian school with time and finances. The good man leaves up an inheritance, passes on an inheritance to his children and grandchildren by his own life within the family. By working at his own marriage. So that by that marriage, he sees that unbreakable bond between Christ Jesus and his church. How the devil today knows that and he wants to destroy the home. The good man loves his wife, cherishes his wife, builds up his wife, and the good man lives there in the home with his children day to day. God forbid that our children grow up and they say, I hardly saw Dad. He was always gone. He was never there for me. We can be so busy in even godly things, important things, that we fail. First of all, you need to be at home. You are the head of the home. Christ is always there for his church family. So may our children be able to say, Dad, Grandpa loved Mom or Grandma. And Dad and Mom and Grandpa and Grandma loved us as grandchildren. They were there for us. Fifthly, the good man passes on that inheritance to his children, to his grandchildren, by the way that they face their own mortality. There will be infirmities of old age. There will be sorrows. God forbid that we are like Job's wife who said, curse God and die. becoming grumpy, but rather facing the end of our travels, facing the children and saying, "Fear not. Yes, I'm leaving you, but for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I have the victory. I'm at peace." What? Pass on the inheritance. How? Through those different ways. Now, thirdly, this morning, why? And the blessed future. Why? First of all, because of the urgency. The urgency. This earth is passing away, isn't it? One day, I'm not going to be here. Are you ready for heaven? Have you prepared your children? Have you prepared your grandchildren to continue to walk in the way that you have walked in the truth? Have you passed on the inheritance? No, as I said before, we cannot instill in our children or grandchildren a life with God. The salvation of our children, of our grandchildren, is not dependent upon parents. Only the sovereign grace of God in Christ Jesus can do that. But as I said before, God is pleased to use means. Parents recognize their duty. God's promise is, "I will save you and your children in the way of your passing on the inheritance." There's urgency. What does Jesus say about his own life? John 9, verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." Do you see, fathers and grandfathers, parents and grandparents, the urgency to pass on? Because if you remember your Old Testament history, there grew up in Israel a generation that knew not the Lord nor what he had done. And if we look in the church world today, we see those kind of generations being raised also in the church. Ignorant. They don't know their Bible history, let alone Reformed doctrine. Love the truth. Live the truth. Pass on the truth. Forsake it not. Oh, the blessedness of doing so. God's covenant promise and work. God says, "I will be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." What blessedness that God has given us minds and hearts and now tongues and lips, that we are able to speak as parents, as grandparents, of those things, those precious things that we love to our children and grandchildren. Have you taken your children, have you taken your grandchildren on your knee and said, "Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me personally"? What a blessing as parents and as grandparents, seeing the Lord's hand active in the hearts and the lives of our children. When you hear the little wee ones singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." What blessedness that you and I are able to go to the Christian school programs and to hear all of our children singing their praises or reciting the Bible verses. And what a blessing for us to see young people standing up in the midst of God's people, confessing that they love the Lord Jesus Christ and they love the doctrines that are taught in this Christian church. And what a blessing it is to see our children or our grandchildren finding godly spouses and married in the Lord Jesus. And what a blessing it is to see our children and our grandchildren forming then their own Christian homes. Thirdly, the blessedness of this passing on the inheritance is the permanence of that inheritance. I noticed once before with you the contrast in our passage. For our passage says that the wealth of the sinner is the reprobate. The sinner is he or she who rebels against God and His Word. They might have houses, they might have property, they might have fame, they might have riches, but they are all taken away, aren't they? The trust funds that they built up are only a curse, not a blessing. For the sinner, that is the reprobate, is cast away eternally. But notice the end of this verse 22, that the wealth of the sinner is given to the just. Remember, boys and girls, as Israel was leaving Egypt, the Egyptians came carrying gold and silver, all other kinds of articles, throwing them upon God's people. And remember your Old Testament history when they came into the land of Canaan, the vineyards and the orchards and the cities were all built and they were given to God's people. So the wealth of the wicked is given today to God's people, to the just. The just are those who are also sinners, but they're sinners saved by God's grace. Their sins are forgiven. They are sinners who now love and cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are sinners who are made just and righteous by the righteousness of God Himself. What a glorious hope here. God will wipe away all the reprobates in this world, and He gives all their wealth, all the earth, to His saints. Don't we read in Matthew 5, verse 5, the meek will inherit the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now the church in this world is a small remnant, isn't it? Laughed at, ridiculed, hated. We will receive the new heavens and the new earth. What legacy, what a permanent inheritance. Is that what I want my children and I want my grandchildren to have? Psalm 16, the Lord is mine inheritance. Or Jeremy says in Lamentations 3, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. So it's not just God's grace, it's not merely His love, it's not merely His covenant, but God gives Himself to His people. How He gave Himself for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Loved by God, we love Him. Taught by our God, we know Him and we teach our children and our grandchildren. We ask with the psalmist, Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides Thee. We delight ourselves and our families and our grandchildren. We delight ourselves in the Lord. We drink of His pleasures. And we say with the psalmist, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, we have a goodly heritage. What a happy, what a blessed people. Grandparents, parents, children, children's children. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We're thankful that we can take the callings of secular holidays and use it for the benefit of the church to bring home important lessons. What is our life all about? What are we spending our time doing and teaching? Oh, Lord, bless our homes. Bless the homes as they teach the children, for that is what we are commanded to do. We delight to do it, that our children may know and love and serve Thee and walk in the truth. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.